Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We missed a week because of a storm.
And our timing is terrible.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You know what?
No.
I just got power back tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least you got power back. But it was off for what, a week, I guess?
Yeah, it was off from Saturday through today. It was Tuesday, so in like 9 days, 9 nights of sleeping at other people's homes. And and two nights in my house. My wife's like, oh, we could sleep there. It's going to be... It's not so hot.
It's romantic.
Oh, it was horrible. The only thing I needed was like a mosquito invasion to make my night the worst nights of ever. It was terrible. I mean, you got 92% humidity and 92 degree temperatures that don't go down in the middle of the summer here. Just awful. It's absolutely awful.
Yeah. You need that air conditioning.
Yep. So let me give you a quick update because you want to know what happened during the hurricane, right?
Well, I want to know two things. I want to know what happened during the hurricane, mm-hmm. what it was like during that particular episode. And secondly, there's another hurricane headed your way. What do you think of that?
I'm hoping that even though it looks like all the spaghetti models, there's two of them that kind of whipsaw around exactly where I am, that they're wrong. That's what I'm hoping.
Jose missed you completely.
Yeah, that's going north. And it's going to whip
that was
up.
That a dud.
Yeah, it's going to whip up. But these are not just hurricanes. These are like typhoons. These are nasty.
Yeah.
So I went out to, I buttoned up my house, buttoned up the boat and took everything from outside in, figuring that everything's going to get destroyed because of the storm path that we saw was coming. I mean, it was beelining right. It was like had a tracker on my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we buttoned up everything. I even took off like the lights off the outside of the house. I took all those off. Just did everything I could to get everything in the garage. My garage was wall-to-wall stuff. The biggest problem I had, and then my biggest concern was I have a deep freezer with bait in it for fishing that we leave outside. And it's kind of like a quarter of the way filled up with stinky, smelly bait.
Bait.
And my concern was if I was going to be out of power for a while, what was I going to do? And that, I would put that in the garage. So the good news is, I'll just give you the end of this story, is that my neighbors were gracious enough, because I didn't have a generator, to lend me a electrical line like maybe 4 hours a day to get my... I didn't have fans in my house. I don't have anything going, but I have my bait freezer frozen.
Yay, priorities.
Yeah, exactly. So that bait freezer stayed perfect the whole time. But I went out west. My friends have a house out there where I used to live, about 15 miles west of where I live now. And I knew that the electrical lines were buried underground, figuring I got a better shot there, right? So it turns out that just like the last hurricane that was terrible down here, I didn't lose power or cable television the entire evening of the storm. Now, my friend has, you saw the picture of my friend's backyard.
Yeah.
He has a lot of trees, a lot of, it's like a forest, beautiful palm trees that he spends days and just clipping. And he's one of these guys that goes in the garden, is the clipping and the shaping.
The clipping and the pruning and the trimming and the, yeah.
You know, one of those guys. And he loves it. He's really into it. And I'm watching him like as each of these palm trees are being bent in half and the fronds are flying everywhere, like just lose part of himself, like it's his children. You know? It was terrible. But he had an alcove in the backyard that even in the throes of the storm, 80 mile an hour winds, we were able to actually go outside. So I sat up there with I got to tell you something. I've eaten and drank more this week than I can tell you on I can't even remember a vacation that was this much.
Hmm.
So anyway, so it was pretty bad. I mean, we had a lot of damage down here, a lot of trees down. Miami's worse. The Keys are horrible, really bad, the Keys. I just saw a bunch of pictures of boats that are on land and just smashed into each other, and it's just terrible down there.
So you strapped your boat and it didn't get damaged?
Not a bit, not one. It got dirty. That was it.
And the tiki hut looked pretty intact.
The only thing that happened with the tiki hut is the top of it, which has these cross beams that hold down a tar paper kind of thing over the top, that got blown off. So I got a guy coming tomorrow, Hugo. Hugo's coming tomorrow to fix that up. But otherwise, everything was fine. I had my, now I have another house in the central part of Florida that got beaten up pretty badly. I think I'm going to need new roofs, and there's some trusses that got caved in, a lot of trees down, really bad. They still don't have, they, when I went up there last week to see what was going on, there was FEMA trucks and the army was up there. It was bad. Mm. Yeah, it felt really bad. Anyway, so hopefully everybody that is in the, and I heard Houston is still in bad shape.
Well, Houston was flooded.
But it's still, not, it's still, it's terrible still.
Well, it's Houston.
Oh, okay. But anyway, our best wishes are to all those who are affected by this terrible storm. The next one that's coming looks like it's going to head a little north, I'm hoping.
Yeah, that's the, was it Maria?
Yeah, Maria. Yeah. Somebody's asking, Maria. Why are they all Spanish names?
Well, they had Jose, they had Maria. What was the one that hit you? Irma?
Irma.
I don't know if that's a Spanish name.
No. Trader Joe's update. We got a lot of donations that came in. I sent you some of those donations, your piece of that. So we have to go out and buy some Trader Joe's. You have Trader Joe's near you, right?
Yeah, I do.
So you got to buy, for the next show, by next weekend, buy a bunch of Trader Joe's junk. I heard we got to get the anything chocolate covered. Some of the frozen Indian meals.
Frozen Indian meals from Trader Joe's?
Mm-hmm. Any of the international frozen meals.
Okay.
We should get some wine. Two buck chucks or whatever
that. Don't get the $2 chuck. It'll make you sick. They have decent Bordeaux. If you see Bordeaux at Trader Joe's that are with the vintage date 2015, mm-hmm. you have a probably 75% chance that that's drinkable and maybe a 25% chance it's actually good.
All right. So we'll get some of that.
2015. That's your 2015 year. Yeah.
2015 Bordeaux.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Happy New Year to all of us Jews. Rosh Hashanah starting tomorrow night, Wednesday evening. Yeah.
Does that mean you have to go inside or you have to eat something special or you can't eat or I can never remember?
Well, first of all, we're Jewish, so we always eat something. It doesn't matter. Funerals are the most fattening of all. But Rosh Hashanah is, no, it's a new year. It's the Jewish New Year. And we have, depending on what,
how. You have a countdown with a big ball?
No, there's not. A big dreidel drops. No, there's basically you go to temple. Some people go to temple the night before on Wednesday evening. You have a dinner with the family on Thursday. You go to temple, maybe a lunch, maybe a dinner. Some people have a 2-day. Some people do it for 1 day. And then next week coming up, like 8 and 9 days later, is Yom Kippur, where you don't eat.
Oh, you donate.
Do not eat.
Oh, I thought you said you donate.
Now, Jews, we don't donate. We don't eat. See, that's what happened. Somebody said, okay, this holiday we don't eat. And somebody said, oh, we don't eat. No, you're supposed to donate probably. That's what happened. That's probably
somebody switched it.
Yes, that's probably the evolution of a Jewish holiday. You got to donate. Okay, all right, I won't eat for the whole day.
Oh, I was thinking about, do you have a temple nearby that's still standing?
Of course.
Here's just the last question about the storm.
Yeah.
Because they showed, shots of the Virgin Islands and shots of the Keys, mm-hmm. and you'll see this like decimated, just flattened, and then there'll be some house that's there, roof intact, pristine condition. You notice this? Ever notice this?
Yeah, and that and could then be. Sometimes a indication of a tornado?
You'll see that then too, but I'm in the hurricane where it's more general damage. You'll see a wrecked area, and then there'll be one or two places that are in pristine condition. Why don't they study those places and make that the building code for all the rest of the places?
Yeah, that would be too easy. That would be too logical. That's what I did when I bought a house up in Lake Placid, Florida. I bought it right after the hurricanes of 2004. And all the docks and all the boathouses were wrecked around the lake. I took a boat with a guy from town. I said, okay, this is what I want to do. Tell me who built these. Who built this one? It fell down. He said, ABC boat builders. Okay, who built this one? ABC boat builders. All right, it's knocked down. Who built this one? Burke Construction. Okay, it's up. I went around the lake. Burke Construction, all of their docks and boathouses were in great condition. So that's who I hired. Hired Burke Construction.
Yeah, it seems logical.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if there's any difference in the building code from one particular, one house to the next. Is there?
Well, I think no. Well, technically no, man. Because the building code is probably minimal. In other words, you know, some guy likes to over-engineer his place, and so he'll add an extra nail, or he'll do something, you know, he'll do something he thinks is better, and you end up with a thing that's more, you know, it's just a better product. I think the approach you took is the absolute dynamite way to do it.
Yeah, just go around, see what's still standing, and then I'll use that guy. Excuse me. Yeah, I've been sleeping at people's houses and not getting a lot of sleep. I haven't had any sleep in the last week, really. Probably 2-3 hours a night. Feel like crap. Anyway, let's do a quick market update here. As we discussed last show, which was 2 shows ago, September doesn't have a history of showing really positive. Well, it's not that it doesn't have positive returns, that it doesn't have the best returns from the market standpoint when you compare it against all of the months.
Right. It's like 11th.
So far, not much to show for that. And we have the one thing. The large caps are somewhat lagging. The NASDAQ 100 is down about 0.4% so far for the month, while the small caps are up over 2%, which is kind of interesting. That's actually opposite of what's been going on. Historically, for the last 9 months, we've seen, or even more than that, we've seen that there has been a significant outperformance by the large cap stocks, the super large cap and mega caps in particular, than we had for the small caps. They've been underperforming dramatically. Which is kind of interesting because you would think that the small caps with the tax reform and tax cuts that are hopefully coming and the dollar being where it is would actually do okay. But the more of the larger company that you are, the more multinational you are, the more that you do exports, the better you're doing because the dollar is so weak, 10% down that
right, you really make more money.
So it's helping.
Yeah, sales go up.
Yep. Exactly. So I don't know. You know, the NASDAQ is up 22% year to date, the NASDAQ 100, all the big caps, and the small caps are only up 6.4% year to date. So I wonder if this is the start of a rotation into small caps for the catch up trade. Because I always, you know, when you look at asset allocation and you look at portfolio modeling, when it comes to the big guys and how they do it with the institutions, they always want to take some money from where it did really well. And let's put some money into what didn't do so well. And we hope that there'll be a reversion to the mean back to, you know, the lower performing ones will actually catch up. So I wonder if that's going on a little bit.
It would make sense.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. Here's some news that's coming up Wednesday, tomorrow. Today is the first day of a two-part meeting with the Fed. Tomorrow is their key rate decision. Everybody's saying that this is the decision of all decisions. Tomorrow is going to be big.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
What do you think is going to happen?
Nothing.
Make your prediction.
Nothing.
That's what I'm with you.
Well, I don't think they're going to
There's going to be a lot of talk. A
lot of talk. Lots and lots of talk. Here's what probably is going to actually happen. There has been a lot of setting the stage by the Fed to start unwinding their balance sheet. The $2.5 trillion they bought of various U.S. treasuries and some munis and corporate bonds that they bought over the last 8 years, they need to eventually say, well, we're not doing this anymore. We don't need to actually keep on buying these to stimulate the economy. So this whole balance sheet unwind, which we've talked about many times, that there's some talk about possibly putting a target, which we know that the Fed won't put an absolute target on because they want to have the ultimate flexibility to do whatever the hell they need to do to not to upset markets. So there's something about $50 billion is being talked about. And if they do $50 billion a month, which is $600 billion a year, it'll take them, what, four years to get this undone? 4 years
to
get this undone. Which is an equivalent of about, if you do all the math, about a 0.75% rate hike annually until this is completed. So they don't want to raise rates and do this at the same time, but I think they're going to really try to set the stage that they're going to want to have this balance sheet unwind starting shortly, or at least put it out there in a much stronger sense, and then not do a rate hike, although there's about a 75% chance of a rate hike by the end of the year, considering how low unemployment is and how well the economy's doing and GDP closing in at 2.5-3%. So I don't know. I mean, markets don't seem to care. Bonds are still depressed in terms of the rates. They're still buying it. They sold them a little bit the last few days, but nothing major. Major highs across the board for all the major indices. The NASDAQ within a couple of just points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average hit a new high today. The S&P 500 hit a new high today. Global markets across the board. Equity markets hit a new high.
Good times.
Yeah. Hoorah. Let's see here. Quick announcement, if you don't mind. I think I told you about this, that Investology, you know that program we were designing for like a year?
Yeah, I remember that.
Finally open. Finally. Oh. Yep. Advisor-crafted, technology-enhanced investment programs. Go to investology.com. What you could do there is find out more about it. But what you click on the link there that says like start crafting your portfolios and begin, and you can actually go in there and start messing around with designing your portfolio, which is dependent on all these questions that you're asked, about 10, 12 questions. And then it will actually design a portfolio based on your risk, time horizon, and a variety of other things. Very cool. Just in real time, as you click your buttons, it starts designing the portfolio.
Hmm. 5 years from now, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Bitcoin crashing. Did you see that one?
Well, if you want to call that a crash to me, what is it, down to 2,900?
No, it's back up to 3,900?
Okay, so it went a $1,000 swing. Yeah, this is crazy.
It went down to 2,900, yeah.
I was hoping it would go back to 400 so I could get in.
Now, let me tell you something. I know a little bit about this. I've been doing some work on this. If you actually wanted to have the opportunity to do so, let's say it even dropped to 1,500, and then you're like, okay, I want to put some money in there. You have to do this well in advance, open up your accounts and fund your accounts to get yourself ready, because it takes days to get this done.
Yeah, that's idiotic.
Days.
Yeah.
I put some money in.
It moves so much with such volatility, you think it'd be a little quicker.
Yeah, it's just the money, getting the money in and money out. So it closed a couple weeks or a week and a half ago at a lower five. This is Bitcoin, not the cryptocurrency, altcoins and all that, but Bitcoin closed over 5,000 per coin.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Dimon came out and he said, basically in a nutshell, that it's a fraud.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It's a fraud.
And I'll tell it to the judge.
He said something about that nobody at his firm should be trading, and anybody that does is stupid. And if he found out that anybody was trading it for the firm, that he would fire him or something of that nature.
So in other words, if somebody working there had bought, I'd say, let's say 100 bitcoins at $50 a pop when they were down to that, and they were hanging on to them, or maybe they sold them, let's say recently, for $5,000 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be considered idiots by Jamie?
Yeah, stupid.
Oh, okay.
Not idiots, stupid.
Want to get that straight.
Yeah, stupid. And would he fire them, and would he keep the money and the profit if it was for the firm? I don't know. But then again, if somebody got fired and had 100 coins, that would be worth $500,000. So maybe they wouldn't need that job right now. But this Bitcoin dropped to 2,900 after his comments, after another comment from somebody at JP Morgan, and the fact that China is cracking down on cryptocurrency exchanges. They're actually trying to put the kibosh on retail trading and on, it's back to, you know,
It's like putting the kibosh on drugs, illegal drugs.
Yeah. The problem,
for some reason, it continues.
The problem is it's like, it's kind of water dripping out of a pipe or something. Where it finds a way to get it. It's like a rat finding a way to get in your house. They find a way, right?
If a rat wanted to get in,
yeah. And it's all about the money getting out of China. It seems to be there's so many different ways that
sneaking money out of China. Yeah, it's not that easy.
It's not that easy, but they're trying every way they can, whether it's real estate in the U.S., buying companies outside of China, cryptocurrencies and altcoins. I mean, it's crazy. So anyway, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I thought it was really interesting, that it did have that swing. So it dropped down to 2,900 and it back to 4,000 in just like 3 days. So we'll have to watch this. There's some very – now here's what's really interesting. We're going to get to the Equifax thing in a second here. But I was watching a few of these altcoins or the cryptocurrencies that are not Bitcoin or Ethereum, we'll call it. And there was a few of them that I was watching. One of them was called, let's see, I think it was called Darkcoin. There was one called, there was like, they had these names like Dark in them. Okay, there's like three of them. And they were rallying for like 3 days.
Wow.
And I was like, what's going on with that? Why is that? And why are those coins? What's happening? Then I realized these are coins that I guess are used on the dark web.
Yeah.
And if you back into what are people buying on the dark web? Well, they're obviously buying the Equifax names.
Oh.
So you follow what I'm saying? They needed to convert.
It's a possibility.
Yeah,
I didn't know that the names were actually up for grabs yet.
Of course. They're on the dark web already. That's the whole point. So we could talk about that and we can get back to some other things here. But basically, there's 140 million names. Did you check to see if you were potentially exposed?
No.
You can do that online somehow. I did it and I put my name in. I put whatever information they wanted and said, "You, your data may have been."
Yeah.
May have been. Exposed. I put my wife's name in and it says your information was not exposed. So I assume what that means is mine was exposed.
I guess.
And I don't know. You know, this is my thesis on what leads to the next financial disaster. This breach of confidence in the system.
Won't take much more.
But what's with this whole Equifax thing and with these guys? I mean, first of all, just to catch everybody up on this. Equifax had some kind of a breach, some kind of a hack, some kind of a breakdown in the security, about 140 million accounts, user information. And we're not just talking about like name and address with Equifax, no. Right?
No.
What do they have? They have...
You got name, address, social security number, driver's license number in some instances, probably some passcodes and maybe financial history. What properties you might own could be in there. You don't know. They didn't tell us everything. And it's a bad. It's not a good thing.
So.
But it's almost like it. But, you know, on the good side.
There's a good side.
I think so.
Okay.
On the good side, at least insofar as the risk is concerned for the average person, it's kind of like a crapshoot. With 140 million names, the likelihood of your name being picked out to be scammed in some way, shape, or form is pretty low. Just by sheer statistics.
Well, I mean, and the question is, if they have a certain piece of information, I guess what's going to happen is they can put together your profile and answer questions like, you know, what's your first pet's name? What was your first car? What was your, you know, where do you have your first kiss? Whatever right. The questions
all those
are.
Things.
So
I didn't know that was a question.
Okay. No, I just made it up, but that would probably be a good one.
It would be.
Yeah. So. When they had this happen, what they announced this, I don't know, 3 days or 5 days ago. Call it 5 days ago. Equifax stock dropped from about 143 and it closed today at about 95, but it went down as low as about 91. Now, what was interesting about this is that we've seen breaches before. Didn't we see a Target breach? And we've seen a lot of stores get their credit information stolen.
Right.
But we didn't see their stocks do anything major and they popped back very quickly.
Well, those companies weren't as susceptible to the liability issues that it appears Equifax may have because everyone and their sister is going to sue them.
Yeah, there's already this chatbots that you could do suing up to $25,000 already.
And there's no – that didn't happen with Target and these other guys.
Yeah, well, in this circumstance, a couple of things. First of all, the initial breach that was announced just last week happened in July. So it took them all this time from July till now – to announce the breach, which really pisses me off, by the way. The second thing is that it seems that we found out over the weekend in a late night dump on Friday, I think it was, that there was another breach 4 months prior that was never even exposed. Nobody ever said anything about it. Now it gets worse. It seems that there's an investigation going on now because some upper management were selling shares shortly before the breach announcement.
Yes, which everyone pleads innocence.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. So the people that are being investigated are Equifax's chief financial officer, John Gamble.
Yeah, there's no doubt he knew something.
Yeah, with a name like John Gamble. It's president.
Great name.
Right. President of U.S. Information Solutions. So the guy who's in charge of IT solutions in the U.S., John Logren, and is president of Workforce Solutions, Rudolfo Plotter. Now, you know who's all over this? The one and the only Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah. She always comes in when it's too late. She's beautiful. And she'll make a big stink about everything and nothing will get done. She's a, well, I'm still, you know, I remember when she came out with this robocall complaining and she had, you know, bitched about Rachel, you know, the ubiquitous Rachel who calls every once in a while and asks, telling you that you've got your, that you can refinance your credit card debt, which is always fascinating to me since I don't really have any credit cards. And I always hit the one, which is a press one for more information. And then I ask them, what credit card are they talking about? And then I get them frustrated and they hang up on me.
Right. Actually, somebody from the chat room said something interesting here. He's talking about how, you know, Equifax's information that was leaked that could have his name. He never actually signed up for Equifax. You never signed up for Equifax. I never signed up for an Equifax account.
Right.
Right. Now you did, I guess. Now, you probably did, actually, unbeknownst to anybody, you signed up for an Equifax account or at least a credit reporting agency account when you signed for the credit card or for the house
absolutely.
Or for the car loan. That's how
you get it. Yeah, it's in there.
Yeah, it's in there. So that's how you actually signed up for it. You didn't have to actually go and do something, but that's how they get your information. And now what's going to be interesting is other companies that are also being taken down by this, other reporting agencies. But once again, the regulators are coming in too late to put in regulations on something where it's beyond. You know, they'll miss the next thing is already happening.
Right. And it's not something that they can, you know, technology is just hackable. It's just completely hackable. Yeah. And I don't care what it is, whether it's driverless cars or smart houses or anything else. They're all hackable. It's just we've known that for the last 30, 40, I suppose you can even go back further, but at least for the last 30 years, we know that. And so what do you expect? Does anybody who's really involved with technology seriously stunned by this?
Yeah.
Didn't stun me.
And this goes back to something actually you talked about on No Agenda, I think last week, the whole, this is something I was going to bring up, but since you talked about it, I really wasn't going to talk about it. But the whole story about how during the hurricane, Tesla somehow pushed in right beforehand an update into cars to have their batteries have elongated driving capabilities.
Yeah.
And then there was
classic.
Some other, and what, forget about that they could do it or can't do it. You know, forget that for a point. But I started thinking about this, you know, what happens if I don't pay my car bill for a month? I'm late. I can get the button pushed.
That's coming.
That's it, right? Or how about there's a mistaken identity and somebody thinks that maybe, I did something and my driver's license is going to be revoked, but maybe it's just something I have to clear up. But what are they going to do? Just turn my car off?
If you remember in the when OnStar was a big deal, General Motors cars, they told you that you could, if your car was stolen, they can shut the car down.
Yeah, and the same thing now. I could operate my... I just bought a new car. We can operate the car through an app. I can see exactly where my wife is at all times.
Is that right?
Yep. The car is constantly emitting a signal.
Yeah.
I can open the door remotely.
Well, that leads naturally, of course, to remote ticketing.
Oh, that's the other thing, right? How if I'm driving down the road, if I'm going 75 miles an hour in my Tesla, and there's somehow, the police put in something in your car that if you go too fast in a particular zone, you get a ticket automatically.
Could be.
Or better yet, you can't go faster.
Well, they won't. That would be a liability issue because there may be moments where you actually have to go faster to get out of a situation. So that's too extenuating. They would never do that.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing just bugs me. That's why I'll never get... one of those little Amazon Echo devices or anything that, you know, can listen to me as I'm don't want it, when I don't want it to.
Right. That's, I think, a reasonable way to do things. I don't like a listening device in the house. I mean, why?
Yeah.
It's like I'm volunteering to put a listening device in my own home. Does that make any sense to anybody?
But the next generation.
Some people love it.
But you also probably not the kind of person who put every bit of your information, your whereabouts, your check-ins, what you're doing at all times and where you are on Facebook or any other social media, like the next generation or a couple of generations down, where they just
because they're I don't want to just generalize, but I think it's because they're ignorant.
Well, they've been trained to be ignorant.
Yeah.
They're not just ignorant on their own because
the social situation has made it so it's cool to check in. I'm at McDonald's right now, checked in. Yeah, okay, well, good. Now we know where you are.
But you know what it is?
What is the point?
It's the same. Do you know how over the years, jeans, for example, as an example, jeans and styles change? Who changed those? It was a product of the manufacturers and the fashion industry that changed the design over the years, right?
The fashion industry does that.
This is exactly.
That's why it's an industry.
But this is exactly what's gone on. The technology industry, the social media, the current state of things, they changed the mindset. I was always taught to be skeptical of everything. I know you are.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I get paid money to be that way.
Right. Well, okay.
Which helps. Right. By the way, it just encourages me to be even worse than you.
Right. And the thing is that you have a job. You have job security because this next generation doesn't have any level of.
They have
of
no skepticism. Sense of this. Yeah. Yes, they're just completely
old. Okay. Job security for you.
I'll fall. What do you think? I should walk off the cliff? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, so let me tell you what I found out. A little research here. How much is your personal data actually worth? How much is it worth to the dark web and the folks that want this information?
Well, let's see. I would say there's a couple. This is an interesting question because. As a bulk download, what is 145 million names, addresses, and all these data points worth as a giant file? Is it worth $1,000? Is it worth X number of dollars per name? I mean, technically, a name is and all that information is probably worth about, I would say, to a marketing company, a legitimate marketing company that was buying this information. I'd say they'd be buying this for about $1 a name, be honest about it.
So here's the thing. Because this is such a quality list, you know how in the old days when you bought a list for marketing purposes, they would rate, did you have the name, the address? Do you have a phone number? That was all they had back then. Or did you have some, and they would remember D&B and they had all the different information on companies? I mean, how much information do you have so we can qualify this lead? And the more
you also had standard rates and data, which should sell these mailing lists.
Yeah.
But look through the catalog, it'd be the hot list is the one you want.
Right.
But somebody who bought something recently.
Yeah. And that would be more expensive than maybe just a random name. Right. So here's what I found out. Verified high limit credit card holders from countries including the US, Japan, and South Korea are selling on the dark web for the Bitcoin. So that was important. The Bitcoin equivalent of about $10 to $20. Per name.
What?
Yep.
Let me just tell this to all the people out there who are buying stuff like that. That's a jip.
Yeah. But they're verified high limit credit cards. It's just the credit card information that's totally verified.
So what?
I don't know.
That
I guess
it doesn't make it worth $20. If it was a customer that you were buying as a customer, then $20 to $100 a person, yes. In other words, I just bought your company and you have these customers and I'll pay X amount of money, usually $10 to $20 a head for your customers. But they're customers. It's not just some vague name and a social security number that's verified. Your customers are verified too. That's too high. $20 is too high.
But if you get the verified high limit.
I think you should be selling that whole list of 145 million people for about 10 grand max.
Well, there's more here. It says that if business cards, they're the highly favorable asset. And sometimes some of them have no limit on spending. Those high-end cards, say like a Platinum American Express card that has been verified.
Black card.
Yeah, and has an 85% rating, which is judged by the seller. There's some way they do this to have an 85% chance of being successfully used in a fraud. Will go for $15 to $20. While a regular MasterCard that doesn't have such a big limit may go for $9.
Well, if you're going to use it, okay. Let's if you could pull out names of Black Card owners or the Platinum Card owners, and the whole idea was to get a good name, say buy 10 of them for $20 a pop, $200, and you're going to use those names to scam false identity or some sale. You're going to buy a boat, or you're going to buy a, you know, a bunch of shoes, or you're going to do something. Yeah, okay. It's, then the name in that situation as a name to be scammed is probably worth $20. That's true.
Yeah. So in other words, just adding this up, I don't know how many of those names on the Equifax list are verified or easily scammable or business numbers, but that list is obviously worth some money.
I think it's, if they have this list and they got anybody who knows what they're doing, they should be able to parse it out and really provide a very hot list of prime suspects to fleece.
And then what happens? The credit card, you know, if the people find out about the fact, now what will usually happen is if you have a high limit credit card and it's a business account, and this is a kind of account where they're buying all sorts of things, the fraudster is not going to just go buy a boat. They'll probably buy a bunch of low ticket items and then sell them back on eBay.
That could be, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but they do it in these chop shops in Asia. Yeah. So big problem here. Bottom line is a big problem.
It is a big problem. And these guys are incompetent boneheads to let this happen.
Yep. Did you watch the Emmys? A little bit of a turn left.
Yes, here. I did watch the Emmys.
What was your favorite part of the Emmys?
I didn't like the Emmys. I thought it was a kind of a mediocre show. It was
very staged.
It was staged. I didn't think Colbert was that interesting. And it, you know, it was a lot of Trump bashing. Of course, you expected that.
I didn't expect as much as I saw.
Oh, well, I did.
Oh,
actually, Adam and I talked about this after the show because we're going to he probably is going to cover it more than I did because I didn't get any clips. But he we both kind of agreed that it's going to be Colbert going overboard because that's his whole shtick is bashing Trump. He doesn't really have any other weapons in his possession. So he bashes Trump and bashes Trump, and he's very popular for doing it. And I didn't like the show. I didn't think the show was that interesting.
I thought the best part I thought it had to be when Sean Spicer came out.
I thought that was amusing to it for a moment. I thought Colbert was kind of mean-spirited about it when he chided him for being Melissa McCarthy. I just didn't see the show. It wasn't that as entertaining as I'd like. Sunday Night Football, or was it Sunday Night? Yeah. Killed it in the ratings, I think 3X. And
this was one of the lowest ever watched Emmy Awards.
Well, in terms of ratings, but not in terms of viewers, they had about the same as they had last year. But they should go down, and that was miserable. So they're just not doing very well. It's uninteresting. It's I don't know what it's just old fashioned or something. I have no idea why it's so boring.
I mean, I turned it off a little bit after about halfway. And, you know, when the same shows kept on winning and the same, it's like, oh, enough already. I just thought it took some serious balls for Spicer to go out there and make fun of himself after all that went on. But then I realized that he's on his own now and he's going on a speaking tour and he's trying to set the stage for this whole thing and warm up to all parties.
Sure.
So anyway, Toys R Us filing for bankruptcy.
I'm stunned by this.
Oh, come on.
Why? What do you mean, come on?
Are you really stunned?
Well, I mean, it's a toy. You know, how many toy stores are there in the world? I mean, they took and put a bunch of little guys out of business. And it's an entertaining place to visit, although they did change it around a little bit recently. That made it, I think, dangerous for kids. You know, they used to, my wife pointed this out. They tried to make it so as I haven't been there, I have to admit, for the last couple of years. But so it's obviously I'm not supporting the place. But they used to be a store with long straight aisles, as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you lost track, your kid ran off, you could easily find him because he's going to be in one of these aisles or on the two ends, right?
Yeah.
Then they decided to put in these little alcoves and curves and the thing to make it more kind of like a little more hippy dippy.
Kind of a pedophile paradise.
Yes.
Right? Seriously? Did they do that? So there's all these like areas. It's like a mouse maze.
So you can't just go look down the aisles for your kid. You have to go all over the place, literally, to find him if you can. I think, of course, my approach would be just to start screaming his name at the top of your lungs. That would do it.
And they, what do? They do the, some kind of alert and lock the doors down. and hear the mom going crazy.
Yeah.
Tommy, where are you, Tommy? But a bankruptcy. So this company went private a number of years ago. I think about like 7 years ago. And it was with some private equity firms, and now they're taking that into, and they did a bunch of little things and rolled it up into a real estate trust, and they were trying to get some land value out of it like they did back in the days with Sears and Kmart.
And you used to be able to.
Yeah, now what they're going to do is they're just going to burn the bondholders, the debt holders, and then try to bring it back. That's what they're doing. They said, it used to be that if you said, well, we're going to do a bankruptcy, and then, you know, it'd be this whole thing, and then eventually it would come out of it and whatever. And you know, they'd clean up the debt, they'd restructure and all that. And it would be this long-winded thing. Now they're just like, hey, we're gonna go bankrupt. We're basically gonna roll it up. We're gonna change it up. We're gonna have a much better capital, a capital position. It's like, it's almost like it's acceptable to go bankrupt.
Well, it's not acceptable to the bondholders.
No, but they're not going to have a choice in the matter. And then they're just going to keep on running the company, and they'll probably run it into the ground even more. They'll issue more debt, and somebody will schmuck will buy it. They'll issue
just
debt.
Just KKR
they'll...
and Bain.
Yep. Another company having trouble, Rolling Stone Magazine. Putting their company up for sale. The countercultural magazine for sale.
Yeah.
So Jack Wenner, he said he acknowledges that the magazine had nurtured for half a century has a difficult and uncertain future on its own.
Well, you know, there's another group of publishers that are kind of Trump haters, and they've kind of gone very Democrat oriented. So, I mean, it got political. I think it didn't help. And people, you know, the whole music scene has changed so drastically, and the way music is distributed. It's old fashioned.
Rolling Stone used to be the really in-depth music entertainment publication, right?
Yeah.
I remember one of the first things I saw, maybe it wasn't the first, but I remember back in 2005, 2006, they started getting into the whole financial crisis thing.
Yeah. That was Matt Taibbi.
And I was like, well, that's weird, but he was a good writer at the time. He was very colorful, and
since nobody else was even coming close to writing anything about what happened,
right?
Taibbi could own the business,
right? And he did, calling Goldman Sachs a vampire squid.
Yeah,
and it was very colorful, and the whole thing was fantastic. And they can get away with it because of the kind of magazine that they were. It's kind of like if Playboy wrote a magazine, you know, an article like that. Although,
yeah, they would get away with a lot of stuff, right, too, in the heyday, the 70s.
So now this, I agree with you. And then also Rolling Stone had, let's call it, in-depth articles about the bands and the life. And it was like it was like a reality show in words about the different people in music, right? These days, what are you going to talk about? The one DJ Mousehead or whatever his name is? Dead Mouse?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is there's no names anymore like that. There's a few here and there.
I agree. There's no – the personalities are – it's been hyper-distributed. There's all these little indie bands, and nobody cares about them if you never heard of them. The only names now are like Britney Spears. I mean, these big headliners, people that can do – or Gaga, and I guess these other – there's a couple other ones that can carry a huge auditorium full of people. But – how much do we want to know about them? And I think it's the audience. I think what they did is they took an audience from the 60s and they just got old with them, and they never – that's why – think about this. Here's a magazine that has an audience from the 60s and they're growing old with them, and now they're covering – this is like what happens when you get older. You care about these financial things. Oh, my God, I've lost my money. And, you know, so you want to read Matt Taibbi doing this? Is like, this is not the idea. They should have made the magazine. They should have modernized the magazine if they're going to do anything. And the internet's killing everybody. So
that kind of magazine should like cull their staff every 10 years. Totally just cull the staff and start again. all the staff writers.
New younger. Yeah.
Just entirely just roll it over and just be done with it. But you can't do that either because you can't have people out of a job, of course, and replace because people have, you know, contractual obligations and all that other crap. Anyway. Okay, another financial news. U.S. Federal Reserve Vice Chair Stanley Fischer, who was is a longtime central banker and who has helped set the course of, quote, modern monetary policy, which means basically just giving away as much money as possible, said last week that he's going to step down from his position in mid-October. He's the vice chair. So now you're going to have another person who's going to have to be appointed by Trump for the U.S. Federal Reserve. And the big question about who's going to be the next, I think February is when the term for Janet Yellen wears out.
Well, there's supposedly a little battle going on between Cohen and the White House staff, who Trump now hates, and Mnuchin, who Trump still likes. Mnuchin's going to be the guy. I think he's going to be the next
guy. You think so? He's a Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, I think we'll put him in there.
Even with his wife's ridiculousness?
Well, the wife is a liability. I agree with that. She has a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, she should know better than being the way she is.
Yeah, that was bad. Let there be cake. My favorite thing that happened with her after she posted that terrible Instagram post, and not only the terrible Instagram post, which was in bad taste, but then going after the person who said it was in bad taste.
Yeah.
Was that it was found out that I think on a Law and Order, she's an actress, on a Law and Order episode, she played Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
And who was, you know, let them eat cake. Who, by the way, Marie Antoinette was part of, I was in Vienna, and she was part of the Habsburgs family. Did you know that?
Yeah. I think I should have known that.
I never knew that.
I didn't.
The Habsburgs. What a dynasty that was.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, you can thank them for all the great pastries in the world.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh. Seriously.
Chipotle. Still can't get it going. They're cutting their chorizo off their menu and somehow either replacing or coming up with a new concept with queso. How do you go from chorizo, which is basically a pork sausage,
right,
to cheese?
I don't know. It makes zero sense. What are they talking about?
I don't even understand it. Everybody's pissed off about it. Stock is now trading at multi-year lows, below 300.
Doomed.
I don't know if we want to talk about Apple's new lineup with their, it's getting, this Apple 8 device is getting some pretty bad reviews.
I haven't noticed.
You really haven't?
No, I haven't really followed it that closely.
I should send you a couple, there's a Wall Street Journal.
I said my piece about the Apple phone and then everyone says, there, you hate Apple.
Yeah.
Which is the response that I get no matter what I say about Apple.
Yeah.
And so I haven't followed anything since.
That's going back, the Dvorak hates Apple meme goes back to like 2005.
No, it goes back to 1985, I think. I'll tell you when it started.
When?
It started with the founding of Mac User Magazine.
Oh.
I was the columnist on the inside back cover, and I was told by Felix Dennis, he says he wanted me to do a negative piece every month bitching about Apple. Because he thought it would balance the magazine out. And I said, okay, well, then I'll be the anti-editor, which I was. It was on the masthead. You could see it, anti-editor. And I wrote these scathing pieces month after month after month for years. Well, that didn't sit too well with anybody.
Right. Well, they had you on for years, so you must have been reading. People must have been reading it.
Well, no, everyone would read it. But it was hate reading.
Oh.
So I figured, okay, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And I'll just... That guy doesn't, you know, people still, they don't throw stuff at me. I haven't had a brick through the window, so I felt okay about it.
Well, there's this whole discussion going on about of course, the facial recognition, which I cannot wrap my hands around. The whole idea of what happens if I'm in a movie theater and I want to whatever. And okay, fine. Oh, yeah. And all the other things that are going on.
There's a lot of people with similar analogies.
Yeah, there's so many different things. Cost factors is another issue. There's some... concerned that there's really no upgrades here, that they don't have a really good, you know, they're trying to use this, what's the wireless charging called? UNP?
I don't know what it's called.
You place it on a charging pad and it charges without a wire, you know, whatever that's called. Yeah. Okay, whatever that's called.
They have a fancy version of it too. You would charge more than one device at the same time.
But the problem is that it supposedly doesn't work so fast if you don't have it in the exact right spot. You have to,
not good.
The camera is upgraded. The processors are a little bit upgraded. It has the glass, the back again. It has a couple other things, but it's not, who cares? Do we care about, does, first of all, I put a case on it anyway. It's easier to hold it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's much easier to hold, especially these devices that are much larger than they used to be. So
yeah, well, most people put a, at least a bumper around it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it when we find out more about it. When we see the X, that's when we'll talk about it.
You'll end up buying one.
I have the 7 Plus, or do I have the 6 Plus? I have the 6 Plus, right? Maybe 7 Plus, I think.
A lot of people like that phone.
I have the 6 Plus. It's very good. The Daily Mail reporting that President Trump is looking to ease export restrictions on guns. We saw that firearm stocks like American Outdoor Brands, which is the old, oh, well, it's not the Ruger. It's the other one. What's the, not Colt. Who made the Colts? They changed their name.
It's not a Remington.
No, they changed the name because nobody, they wanted.
Smith & Wesson?
Smith & Wesson, yeah. They wanted, they, yeah, okay. Smith & Wesson changed their name to America Outdoor Brands because they didn't want to be thought of as a gun company.
They're a gun company.
They're a gun company. They were up 12%. Sturm Ruger's up 12%. Vista Outdoors was up 3%.
That was a good call.
Here's my question. After his speech today in the UN about keeping America safe, keeping all the bad people out of the United States, making sure that we're safe from other countries and all the bad people in other countries and all that other stuff, how, why are we exporting guns?
To sell more guns.
Oh, okay.
I ask you, there's a question for you. You're in Florida,
yeah,
and we do a show about this. We don't talk about commodities much, but did anybody get the bright idea to short orange juice?
No, not short. I heard you talk about this, and I was screaming at you. I was on my way up to Lake Placid.
What was you? Okay, well, tell me what you're screaming about.
First of all, let's set the stage. The idea was a storm was coming to Florida. It was coming into the – it looked like it was going to hit directly into the Orange Grove area of Florida. And
right.
That would kill the oranges for juicing.
Yes.
Okay. You don't want to short orange juice. They're not going to go down. Orange juice is going to go sky high because now there's less oranges.
Oh, right. You're right.
So you want to long, go long
oranges. It was the stupidest thing I've ever said. You should have been shouting at me.
I was shouting when I heard this.
Well, here's the deal. They were supposed to have a bumper crop.
Yeah.
Which meant that the prices should have been depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which means if you bought, went long orange juice and you know, stuck your finger into the, no, this short orange, it's funny. Why am I thinking that? I know exactly when I said it, I was thinking the right way, which yeah. is that there's not going to be any oranges. The price is going to skyrocket. So why would you short? It makes no sense whatsoever. But there was something I was thinking. Well, it was in my brain. It was stuck in my brain.
It was going to be a problem with oranges, probably what you thought.
Yes. Well, I knew that there's going to be a problem with oranges, but why was it? Anyway, let's assume that it was a stupid thing that I said. And I was wrong. I meant go long oranges because right. the price is going to skyrocket. Did anybody, any of your buddies do that?
I mean, I don't know many people that trade orange juice futures. I mean, the only time I've really heard anything about, you know, trading frozen orange juice futures was in the movie Trading Places. That was the only place.
I've seen it on the lists.
It's on the list, but I mean, then there's definitely people that trade this stuff, but I just don't. It's just not something you trade.
Oh, okay.
You know, you trade oil, silver,
gold. Well, I think you could have made a killing.
Oh, yeah, it was. The futures prices went right up.
Yeah.
And I can attest to this. I sent you a picture of this. I can attest to this that I drove up to Florida and all the oranges were on the ground. Not all of them, yeah. but a lot of oranges were on the ground.
Yeah, and they're green.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good. We had a lot to talk about tonight. We're running a little bit short on time. Let's talk real quick about two things. First, we're going to pick a new... close to the pin coming up, so we'll pick something next week. Of course, if you want to follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, it's at The Real Dvorak. I'm Andrew Horowitz. I want to talk about two things. Kohl's. Kohl's announced something today that I really am having a problem with, understanding how this is good for one or the other, and I'm not sure which side. So they announced that 82 stores across the country from in Los Angeles and Chicago, Kohl's stores, will be offering free convenient returns for Amazon customers starting in October. They'll pack and ship Amazon return items for free, providing additional service and convenience to Amazon customers within Kohl's stores. What is it? They're hoping to get traffic?
Well, for example, in Berkeley, they have one of those drop-off centers for Amazon. There are a bunch of lockers. I don't know if you ever used one of these.
No, I haven't.
But You get an email saying you can go to the Berkeley place and they give you a code, I believe, and you go there and you just punch the code in and bing, one of these doors opens and you put the stuff in and you close and boom, you're done. Everything's taken care of. So that's the way I would do it. So I don't know what Kohl's is up to, because I know these drop-off stores are all, or these drop-off locations are all over the place for returns.
And now that they have the ownership of Whole Foods, what do they need this for?
I don't know that they do.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is Kohl's is hoping that some, this is a very strange marketing ploy, that someone's going to return something that didn't fit or they didn't need, and then while they're here, they might as well pick it up at Kohl's.
Well, that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, I think so. Stupidest thing I've ever heard. And finally, on retail, rec, Bed Bath & Beyond sees fiscal year, they came out the earnings tonight, fiscal year EPS of $3 versus $4 estimate. Stock was down about 20% in after hours. Actually finished down only about 14% in after hours. But that stock is just a disaster. You know, that's when I was really early on. I shorted that a few times, never played out, kind of said, you know, the hell with it. Would have been a great hold, but it'd be a great short. Great short.
Yeah, there's such a thing.
Yep. We have a lot of other things we're going to talk about. I think you want to talk about the guy who got his wanker caught in the the round.
It's nothing I want to talk about.
Well, let's end with this. Firefighters in Worms, Germany, was called to help interfree a man who got his body part stuck in the hole of a 2.5 kilogram or 5.5 pound weight at the gym. You know those weights they put on the bench presses, the ones with the holes that you can slide on the.
Yeah.
He somehow put his.
It's a new exercise they have in Germany. Is that what this is?
I guess. So with the help of a grinder and a hydraulic saw, they were able to break the weight in 5 parts, freeing the man's medical. Yep.
Yep.
I don't even understand. All right, let's go on that note to the stocks. This is a game we play. It's not a recommendation to buy any or sell any security at all. Of course, if you decide to use any of the things that we talk about, you need to seek professional financial advice. All the information about what's going on with these stocks can be found on dhunplug.com. Just click on the weekly stock picks, and you'll be able to track this in real time, see what's happening as they're moving and all that. John T. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of these, and we'll duly note that if we do, in fact, own these. So, a lot more green?
Yeah. This is something. Let me see what we got here. Sorry.
That's okay.
I was on another.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
Oh, well, actually, I'm going to be discussing the phenomenon of the how you can't find anything when you search for it with Weed Whacker, like for the Weed Whacker example. And I discuss how the original Yahoo idea of curated directories may actually be the thing you want to return to.
So you're not talking about searching for something in your house?
No, online searches. Online you can't search. Find the best product. You can't find – if you try to go to Google and find the best weed whacker, what is it? What is the brand? What does it cost? Where can you get it? You will not find it. You'll find a bunch of fake review sites and people selling weed whackers,
right,
pretending to be reviewers, and they're not. They're selling weed whackers, and you can't – so you can't find anything. It's a horrible situation.
Yep.
You know this.
Yep. All right, so you can find that on PC Magazine, where John C. Dvorak writes each and every week for that fine online magazine. We should see if we can get some kind of a thing from them.
From what?
From PC Magazine.
Oh, yeah, they should give us money for plugging them all the time.
We plugged them from like every week for the last 2 years. Now they think about it, we're so stupid.
Oh, well.
All right. Why don't you take a look at the list and tell us what's
going on. Okay, we got like a few good companies. You know, some of this, I mean, the dogs on here are Rent-A-Center, which seems, the Viper Energy Partners is a dead money. I'm not giving up on it.
It got booted.
It did? Oh, it did get booted. Yep. Well, it's back up. It's only down 1.73. Oh, well. So I got whipsawed.
Yep.
General Electric was an insider thing for me. It's just kind of dead money. Tiffany, that's a long shot.
Yeah.
Well, the CEO's and I see you're adding Target.
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of names that I thought would be really interesting. This is one of those things that I was thinking, okay, what are we going to think about after the fact that we should have thought about, like the orange juice, you know? But there's going to be a lot of restocking that's going on in Houston and Florida up into Georgia and Carolinas and Louisiana. I mean, a lot of people, I have nothing in my refrigerator. I'm not saying I'm necessarily going to Target to buy them.
I see what you're saying.
But there's going to be some restocking that needs
Houston
to be done.
Too.
Yeah. So where are they going to go? Well, they go to the grocery stores, of course. And we can pick a bunch of those out, you know. There's definitely names there. A lot of them got hit really hard with the recent drop in prices.
Well, what's those? Is Publix
privately traded? Privately held. One of the most, I got to tell you something. You know, let me tell you a real quick story about Publix. Yeah. I had a client come in. I have a few clients with Publix stock, but
you told this story. I remember. I can remember when you, but keep telling it.
So yeah, I have this guy. A client comes in. And he's a Publix manager, and he retired. And I'm thinking at the time, not that I'm being snotty or snooty or anything like that, but I'm thinking, Publix manager. What could this guy? What could it be? You know, how much money does he have? What does he really need me for? And he's been working there for like, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. And, he, you know, each year he gets Publix stock as a part of his pension, and he gets these stocks, and it, you know, and so he lays out a $2.5 million portfolio of Publix stock. I'm like, what the hell? He says, yeah, they just give us the stock every so often and all that. And each year the stock is up like 10 to 12% at least per year, plus dividends. And the stock constantly goes up, and it's been going up for years and years and years and years. And
it's privately held, you said.
It's privately held. Mm. It's amazing. And they have friends and family thing too. I know people that are friends with people that work there, and they get a bunch of stock they buy.
Well, that's nice.
So what do you have?
I have a short.
Ooh.
Now, I'm going to violate the basic rules of insider analysis.
Mm-hmm.
The basic rule is you only buy when people are buying. Insiders are buying, you buy. When they're selling, you never sell.
Right. You don't know why they're selling.
Because they could be selling to take some, you know, some money off the table, or who knows. But it's never a positive. It's not necessarily a negative thing regarding the company. But in this case, I believe I can make the argument that it is.
Oh.
This is GoDaddy.
G-D-D-Y.
Yeah, I think so. And the seller is Bob Parsons.
Bob Parsons, the guy.
The guy who started it.
Right.
Bob Parsons had in May sold $300 million worth. And just recently, on September 8th, he sold another $250 million worth of his stock. That says to me, and I believe he's already been kind of kicked downstairs by the board. He's now just a director. He used to be the guy who ran the place. Parsons is who I know personally. Parsons is I'd say he was a savant or a genius with this company. And by these sales, I'm convinced he's just getting out of there. He's leaving. He's pulling he's not even Bill Gates still has companies stuck in Microsoft. I think he's just getting out. He's done.
So, you think that he doesn't have any, not only is he done, but he doesn't have any real high hopes for the company.
Well, he might have high hopes or wishful thinking high hopes if he has any stock left. I don't know what his holdings are completely. From what I can tell, I think he's completely out. But it's that you lose it's like the talented guy who brought the company to where it was. Mm-hmm. And now you have some bonehead technocrats running it. And they're just bottom line bookkeepers, accountants. Who knows? They're not the flashy Bob Parsons. So I have I've lost confidence in the company. And so I think it's a good short.
I gotcha. CEO selling.
Well, he's not the CEO anymore. Well, he's just the director.
Founder.
Founder selling.
All right, we're running over. So we're going to end.
Okay.
Hard cut.
We'll talk to you next
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
All right. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.